Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, I'm Tristan Riddell.
And I'm the girl.
And this is episode 79 of Nerd Nuptial. If this is your first episode, this is a show where we, as a married couple, look at life through a geek lens and through a married lens. And it's been a heck of a ride so far. So what we're talking about this week, what are we talking about this week?
Stranger Things Season 2.
Season 2, which, okay, they have this weird thing where they're trying to call it, I think they are calling it Stranger Things 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like it's a movie.
Oh.
But it's like they're not calling it Stranger Things Season 2, even though that's exactly what it is. They're like Stranger Things 2. Like even when you go on IMDb's website, type in Stranger Things, click on it, it says Stranger Things 2, formerly known as Stranger Things.
Weird.
It's super weird, right? That's odd.
Yeah, I've never heard that done before.
Like I've heard of some shows adding a subtitle, like a American Horror Story. Will be called,
oh, sure,
like American Horror Story Freak Show, American Horror Story Coven.
Right, so you know what you're getting into, but it's a different season.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And actually, we just found out, we were thinking about, like we often do, we were thinking about Westworld.
Oh, of course we were.
And I was talking about, I read an article about how Westworld is coming out on 4K Blu-ray, but 4K HDR Blu-ray. And you know I'm a big nut about that stuff.
Well, and what do you want for Christmas?
I want a 4K TV real bad. I want a 4K TV so bad.
You keep bargaining with me. Like, we're at the mall, and he's like, hey, you want that? I can go get my 4K TV, right? I'm like, what? No. What are you talking about? This, like, $5 thing does not equal your how much money 4K TV.
To be fair, it was not $5. It was $45 for shoes.
Well,
in my very expensive TV.
Okay.
I want my new TV because I don't need my new TV. I want it, even though we're.
You feel like you need it.
I feel like I need it.
Well, and you were trying to convince me that that should be my Christmas gift too.
Well, I'm just saying I can't wear your shoes, but you can watch the TV.
Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh! So I don't get any Christmas gifts. I just have the 4K TV with you.
I'll buy you the shoes.
Oh my gosh!
I told you I'd buy you the shoes.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, Westworld, right? Westworld, yeah. So somebody wrote an article about how glorious Westworld looks on 4K. And I looked up the 4K Blu-ray and it said Westworld : The Maze.
I didn't know that it had a title.
I didn't either. So season one has a title. So it makes me wonder what season two going to be called. Like The Uprising?
Right.
The Revolution?
Right. Yeah.
I think sounds good.
It almost sounds like, I don't know, with Stranger Things, like, did they not know they're going to get a season two? You know, same thing with Westworld. Like, did they not know? Because when you see Westworld, it doesn't say, like, The Maze.
Right. Yeah. When you log on to HBO, right. It doesn't say Westworld, The Maze. And I don't even know if the Blu-ray says that. I don't think the Blu-ray says
The Maze.
It's just,
like, Westworld, or it's just Stranger Things.
Yeah. Season one or whatever.
I don't know. It's weird.
It is strange. But either way, however you slice it, Stranger Things 2, Stranger Things Season 2, that's what we're talking about today. And we're recording this 2-3 days after it dropped, something like that. And
yeah, it dropped on Friday.
We're recording this on Sunday. You're listening to this on Monday, most likely. And we of course, devoured it within 2 days.
Yeah,
we split it up.
Friday,
it was
9 Saturday.
Episodes.
Yeah. We were done.
And just like everybody, it kind of like somebody was talking about how like they hate binge watching or like an entire season dropping because it forces them to consume an entire season of television within 36 to 48 hours. Otherwise, it's going to be spoiled online.
That is kind of true.
It's hard to argue with that.
That's true.
You know, I mean, like, you know, like I'm much more tapped in, sadly, to social media than you are. I'm very jealous of you.
I only have my Instagram that's private, so.
Right. And so, like, that's the thing. Like, tonight, I want to watch Star Trek, but, let me rephrase that. I need to watch Star Trek. I have to watch Star Trek tonight. Because if I don't watch it tonight, it will be ruined tomorrow.
Well, you could just not go on social media.
Be serious, okay? Okay, I don't want a lot of jokes in this podcast.
Okay, whatever.
But no, you're right. You're right. I mean, that's the thing. If that...
Well, I would always be worried, though, that someone at work would come up to me and say, like, hey, did you see this? Wasn't that crazy how this happened? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Oh, okay, that's one big thing. I'm not so worried about it with Stranger Things because I feel like I can say, like, whoa, you know, like I'm not caught up. But honestly, we are, of course. But with Westworld, that is definitely a show that a lot of people, even non-geeks, watched. It's kind of like Game of Thrones, mm-hmm. where it's such a good show. Westworld, not Game of Thrones. It's such a good show that it transcends the genre of sci-fi, mm-hmm. and multiple people watch it and talk about it at the water cooler. And actually, we were talking about canceling our HBO. Mm-hmm. You know, we're just like, you know, do we really need it right now? I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff on it, but, you know, like, we don't need it right now. But we're like, oh, with season two of Westworld coming out next year, we're going to have to get it then. Or do we get the iTunes pass? But if you get the iTunes pass, you have to watch it the next day. You have to watch it
right,
the day later.
And that just won't work.
And then, yeah. And then the water cooler conversations or whatever conversations other people have are,
true.
You know.
It's so true.
It's a burden.
It is. You know, okay, so I feel like with a Netflix show, I enjoy the binge watching because I feel like that's what you do that weekend.
That's so, your Stranger Things
weekend.
Yeah, I
mean, we literally like put them in our calendar, in our, you know, like our shared calendar.
It's true.
We write them down. We're like, okay, well, this is Stranger Things weekend, so don't plan anything that weekend.
We did that for Mindhunter.
Oh, yeah.
We did that for Blade Runner.
It's true. Yeah, we're like, okay, well, this is what we're doing. You know, we didn't have to do that as much with movies, but with television shows, especially if we know we want to podcast about it, we're like, okay, well, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
So when the baby's sleeping, napping, when she goes to bed, that's what we're doing.
It's true, because we cannot watch media when she is awake.
No.
Because she has two modes, asleep and moving around, getting into trouble.
Yeah, our baby is crazy. She, like, moves constantly. Like, crawling, standing, just talking. And now, like, screaming.
Now
just
she's
randomly.
Screaming.
Yeah, just randomly screaming.
But
no
not,
reason.
Like, angry screaming.
No, it's, like, excited. Like, she just randomly be like, I love life. It's so amazing. Speaking of our baby, we have the cutest pictures of her as Wicket from Star Wars as an Ewok. It's so cute.
True. It's
She's
true.
She's adorable.
You and your mom.
Yeah.
Made the costume.
We did.
And I'm super proud of you guys.
Thanks.
Because it looks
all crafty.
Amazing. Like, you even made a staff for her.
Yep. A non-pointy staff, because she would have killed us all. So
our baby's quite violent.
She is. Yeah. And she looks so cute in them. So we were like, took her to the Botanic Gardens, and like we found like some areas that look like Endor, and then
we specifically found places that had like ferns and
exactly
stuff.
Exactly. Like, yeah. We were scouting areas, and this poor, it was really cold, and this poor baby, actually she was probably the best one because she had like this whole like furry outfit on. I was kind of jealous of her. But it was really fun to do. So
it was
our geek baby.
Yes. And I could have my arm twisted to post some pictures of her.
On the website?
On the website,
like,
yeah.
Like on our part of like Nerd Nuptial area?
Yeah, like if you guys go to the nerdparty.com/nerdnuptial.
We don't usually do that.
We don't normally post pictures of her and her face. Just privacy things and just, I don't know, like I post pictures of me and you all the time publicly, but it's just, you know, it's your baby, it's your kid.
Yeah.
You know, and just like, it's kind of to the point where you're just kind of like, you want her to make, I know this sounds silly, but you want her to make those decisions? Like if she wants her images out there?
I know.
I don't know. That might sound silly, but yeah, like, but she's, you know, she's so freaking adorable, and
we're not biased at all. And
we both love Star Wars so much, but yeah, go to the nerdparty.com/nerdnuptial. And this episode is episode 79, and check it out. You might see some photos of her. But one other thing that you can do is you can go to the nerdparty.com, the main page, and from there you can check out all of our back catalog episodes. You can check out all of our other shows on the network, Star Wars shows, Star Trek shows, General Geek podcasts, everything that you can think of, a Harry Potter show. And you can also find us on social media all over the place. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You know how to find us. Just go to thenerdparty.com. Okay, so Stranger Things.
Yeah, let's talk about season one. Like, what did you think about season one? Like, we did a whole podcast about it. We actually were late to the party on that. But we did a podcast about it anyway, because we were like, well, this is our podcast. Who cares?
You know what, guys? I'm going to post that too. Like, I'm going to post our season one discussion within the same blog post.
Yeah.
So yeah, just check this episode out at thenerdparty.com. So season one, here's the thing. Since we were talking about Westworld so much, there are two shows that I say had fantastic first seasons right out of the gate, because a lot of shows, specifically Star Trek shows, including one that's going on right now.
Be careful.
The nerds might hear in the, exactly, you know, revolt. The first season of a TV show sometimes can be pretty rough. Like,
it's true.
You know, they're trying to find their feet. They don't know who their characters are. The writers don't know who the characters are. They're really just kind of, there is a test ground to see what works and what doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
But there are certain shows where the first season is just phenomenal. Just hit it right out of the park. And there's two examples that I always give, and that's Westworld and Stranger Things.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we loved Stranger Things season one. I think we fell in love with Eleven, as you do, and
you
we
not?
Wanted justice for Barb, like you do. And, you know, I feel like the dynamic of the kids was really what made it for us. We kind of, if we do a rewatch, we sometimes skip around with the teenager part.
The Nancy and Steve parts,
We're kind of like, whatever. Except for the Barb parts.
Because Barb is a good friend and a good
She's
influence.
She's a treasure.
Yeah.
She's a treasure. But I feel like we were all about the craze. I mean, there's a reason why it kind of like swept the country, right? Of, you know, if not the world, of why people love Stranger Things, right?
It was one of those shows that I heard nothing about it beforehand. Never even saw any kind of ads for it or trailers for it. I don't know how we got into this vacuum of isolation of Stranger Things, because I think it was my mom.
Didn't like it at first.
No, she like, we were talking on the phone. She said, she's like, have you seen Stranger Things? I was like, no, I saw that it popped up on Netflix, but I haven't checked it out. She's like, it's not very good. And like, the reason that she gave was really weird, and which we won't get into right now. But, and so I was like, I was kind of like, I need to check this out. And we did it like a couple weeks later, like a month later.
Yeah. And I feel like everyone was kind of in that same ballpark, though, where they all kind of got obsessed with it later.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you feel like you saw more about it, like, months later?
Yes, like, a little bit later, but not, Arrested Development later.
No. But I feel like it was like, oh, everyone kind of word of mouth said, oh, yeah, you need to check this out, check it out. And then now everyone knows what Stranger Things is.
Yeah, Stranger Things season one was definitely a word of mouth show. Mm-hmm. Like, it was not House of Cards where everybody knew it was coming.
Right.
Because of who was in it. You know, like Kevin Spacey, Robin Wright, David Fincher, everything like that. This didn't have that. Duffer Brothers, who's that?
Well, Winona Ryder.
Well, yes, Winona Ryder, but I'm sorry. Like, as much as I love Winona Ryder, she's not exactly the powerhouse that she was, you know, in the 90s. And this is no disrespect to Winona Ryder. She's a fantastic actress. She just doesn't have the heat like some of other people that I mentioned, like Kevin Spacey or Robin Wright.
Right.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, season one, it's just like, when I remember starting it and thinking like, oh, like the opening scene was on these kids playing Dungeons and Dragons. And mm-hmm. I was like, I don't like kids in TV and movie. I don't like
them.
True. I was like, I don't want this to center around them. Like, oh, please, please, no. But as I was watching, I was like, okay, these kids are awesome.
Right. Exactly. You fall in love with them.
You fall in love with them almost immediately.
It's true.
And that was, it makes me kind of reevaluate, you know, kids in TV and movies. Like, maybe I should give them more of a shot.
Well, I think they also found just like the best grouping of kids too. I mean, from the way they wrote them, but also those actors. I mean, there isn't a weak link amongst them.
They're so casual with their acting. It's so second nature to them.
It's true. It's true. I feel like that grouping, that cast, you know, that ensemble is really what made it.
You're right. This is very much an ensemble show.
It is.
There's not one person that's really carrying the weight.
No.
I mean, there are some people you like better than others.
Of course. But you need everyone to make it Stranger Things.
And one thing, actually, since we were talking about, like, young talent, I saw a quote from the Duffer Brothers talking about Millie Bobby Brown, something like that.
Yeah.
She plays 11,
mm-hmm.
and she was actually 11 at the time when they were casting and filming season one.
Oh, wow.
Now she's 13. And they were talking about how, with her, you have such a young star, but filled with such capacity and acting talent that's so rare.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're working with an older actress because of what she can do.
Right.
But then they countered that with, there was one day that she showed up and she delayed production 45 minutes because she was covered in glitter. You're like, and it reminds them, oh yeah, she's still a child.
Right. Seriously. That's adorable.
Isn't that adorable? Cute.
That's so funny. That's awesome. Yeah. So, okay.
So we love season one.
We love season one. Like, hands down. Absolutely. Like, we could fast forward some of the teenager parts, but.
And that's really funny because we love the kid parts, love the adult parts.
It's true. Teenager part was not great.
Yeah.
So let's talk about season two, just like.
What we wanted to see.
Spoiler free. Yeah. Let's talk about what we wanted to see first and then get into what we thought overall, and then we'll get into spoiler territory.
So I remember with season one, like when we finished, as we were watching, both you and I kind of hoped that it would be an anthology show.
Yeah. I still kind of have that feeling. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, not to get into spoiler about how I felt about season two, but I just thought, like, okay, we're called Stranger Things.
Which is a very generic,
exactly,
open-ended type,
you know,
show.
I kind of wanted to be more X-Files without Scully and Mulder,
mm-hmm.
where, like, we're just focusing on, like, one grouping.
Like one town.
Yeah, okay, this is what happened. This happened in this town. And then maybe going to another town, you know, or the city, you know.
Maybe even if it's something to do with the Upside Down, maybe that is the
right
link, you know?
Like, okay, the Upside Down is other places, mm-hmm. Something like that. And I still have that feeling a little bit, I'm not going to lie. But I also totally understand why, if you have this type of cast, why would you get rid of them?
Yes. that is definitely the argument, the main argument, is that you got lightning in a bottle with this cast.
Right.
It wasn't so much the story. It wasn't even so much the Upside Down, even though those are all great.
Oh, yeah.
It was the cast that made it. And so
exactly.
I feel this is 100% a hunch. 100% a hunch. I have no data to back this up. But I feel like the Duffer Brothers created this story. This was the story. They pitched it to Netflix and said, here's a one-off. Here's a mini-series. Here's a limited series event. And I feel like as they were filming and as Netflix was getting the dailies and watching the episodes as they were making them,
mm-hmm.
I feel like they said, no, you got to tie something in at the end. You got to move it on.
Yeah. I mean, we could be completely wrong.
It's,
absolutely.
Again, like I said, 100% guess.
But it does feel like that a little bit because it was tied up pretty well at the end of season one, except for that last moment where, you know, you have almost that Twin Peaks moment of there's something wrong with Will.
And it even was in, like, a bathroom mirror.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think they even maybe said something about an, you know, homage to that.
Oh, did they?
I think I've read something like that.
Well, you're smarter than I am because I didn't catch that. Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I guess, okay, what were you wanting to see, you know, from season two, knowing that we were getting a season two with the same cast?
With the same cast. Like,
right.
With anthology out the window.
Right.
What I was hoping to see or expecting to see, I guess those are two different things.
Okay.
But they could be the same thing. Where I wanted to see 11, like, I just wanted to know what the hell happened to 11.
Yeah.
Is she in the Upside Down?
Me too.
Is she not?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the deal with the box with the Egos that, you know,
right.
Hopper keeps putting in there? You know, what's the deal? How does he know that she's out there? What's going
mm-hmm.
on? And I just wanted to know, like, that was my main focus. I just wanted to know.
What about 11?
What about 11? That's it. That's your, like, I didn't even care that much about Will and him coughing up the slug. I was like, what about 11?
What about 11? Yeah, I get that. I totally get that.
Which, even though, like, I, you know, I love Lucas and Dustin and Mike and Will. I love all the boys.
Yeah.
And I love 11, but just for some reason, just 11 is so enigmatic and just mysterious and cool and badass.
Right.
And adorable all at the same time, which is such a weird balance.
Right.
And it was, it's like, I was just so utterly focused on her. And that's where the most mystery was. It was with Will and it was with 11.
Absolutely.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's mainly I was focused on. I was just like, and what I was expecting to see, like, that's what I was hoping to see. And obviously we were going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I was expecting to see was, I was like, what I was expecting was 11 still in the Upside Down.
Me too.
I thought she was going to make, like, because she's so badass, I thought she was going to be able to make a life, not a life, but like a survival story.
In the Upside Down. Yeah, I expected her to be in the Upside Down for a while. Like, and I expected there to be some type of portal from, like, that box to her in the Upside Down where she could, like, communicate maybe just with Hopper. And, you know, the maybe season two would be getting her into the real world again.
Yes, and the that only reason why thought. Hopper knows about that box that's connected to the Upside Down is because he struck a deal with
the
scientists that
the lab.
Yeah.
The Hawkins lab or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I thought all season two was going to be, was getting her back to the real world.
And maybe the boys would help.
Yes. And like maybe we would go back to the Upside Down to find her. But we would find her surviving, and, you know, trying to get back to Mike, trying to get back to her friends, everything like that. That's what I expected. That was basically all I expected.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I didn't have anything else written in my head.
Yeah. No, I assumed there would be some type of, you know, situation with the slug.
Yeah.
But I thought it would be more, maybe he was going to turn into, like, Will would turn into a Demogorgon, or maybe had, like, some type of connection. I did think that there was some type of connection, like, okay, he's still not okay. Mm-hmm. Kind of like, you're not going to be okay coming out of the Red Room, Twin Peaks style. Like, you're not going to be all right. But, like, learning how to, like, get past that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I also was interested to see him in the dynamic of the other three boys, because we really haven't seen too much of that.
That's true.
So seeing Will in that, in his natural, you know, dynamic.
Yeah, that, okay, I'll be honest with you, since you brought that up, yes, that is something that I was interested in seeing, is how that dynamic went down.
Mm-hmm.
And before we get into season two, that was, you know, that was kind of a question. Even after watching season two, we're kind of like, how is that dynamic?
Yeah. Okay.
All
right. So should we get?
I think so. I think it's time to get into it.
Okay.
So wait, should we talk about
first impressions
of season two?
Or should we make people?
No. Yeah? No. Okay. Yeah, let's talk about first impressions.
Okay.
So without spoiling anything.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what we thought of season two. Do you want to go first?
Sure. Okay. I feel like there was a lot of wasted time. A lot of, this is what happened for the last year. And I feel like we wasted a lot of time getting to the action or the point of caring in season two. I feel like they caught us up way too much. Like, I even told you at one point that, you know, I understand doing that with a show like The X-Files, where we haven't seen these people for, like, you know,
A decade.
But with season two, like, even in the show, we've only not seen them for, like, you know, a year.
In the show, they've been apart for a year.
Yeah.
And in real life, it's only been a year.
Exactly. So all of this, here's what happened kind of stuff. And not, you know, it's not even necessarily filling us in on what happened over the course of the year, but just here's where each person is in what state.
Mm-hmm.
It felt a little unnecessary.
It took multiple episodes to do that.
Yes. And I really was hoping that we would have started a month later after.
After the events?
Yes.
That's very hard to do with young actors.
I know it is, because they age
so quickly.
But they didn't age that much.
I think Mike did. I think Mike aged the most. And that's also true. Eleven did pretty
hard. She did too. That's true. She looked a lot older. Maybe you're right. I guess in a perfect world, I would have, you know how I love when they pick up right where they left off.
Think about, what's his name on Lost? The boy.
Oh, that's right.
Michael's son.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
They had to write him off the show.
Yeah, you're right.
Because they're like, what were we thinking?
Old. He got too old. It's true.
That's my biggest complaint too, is like, actually, out of everything that happened in the show, whether we liked it or not, the biggest detractor was just, wow, you wasted so much time.
Yeah.
Even if they came at us and said, you know what? We're only going to give you 5 episodes this season. I initially would have been angry, but if they showed me those 5 episodes, I would have been, wow.
Oh, you mean where they actually spent their time?
Where they spent their time. If they cut it down to 5 episodes, like I said, like if they announced it, I was like, whoa, 5 episodes, what a rip. But then I watched just those episodes, I'd be like, that is a wild, amazing ride. But instead they gave us 9, one more than last year.
Mm-hmm.
And like, to be honest with you, I feel like you could watch episode 1 mm-hmm. just to catch you up. Skip all the way to episode 5. Watch 6. Skip 7. Watch 8 and 9.
No, I'm not going to argue with you. I think there are certain pieces that you need in all those episodes. But
this is for a rewatch.
If you were rewatching it and you weren't doing a hardcore rewatch, I really think you're right. I absolutely think you're right.
You could almost skip episode 1. And
you
just do
could.
5, 6, 8, and 9. It's rough. It's.
I'm trying to think.
Like, that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, I guess you could.
So, okay. Well, I guess. Okay, so that's the thing. Like, there's a lot that happened in season 2 that was just really cool.
Oh,
like,
my gosh, yeah.
The good stuff was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But the not so good stuff was mind-numbingly boring.
Yes.
There was nothing really. There was only one part that was really egregious where I was just like, why are we watching this? This is horrible. This is stupid. This is pointless. There's really only one point that kind of made me angry and upset.
Okay.
But all the other stuff, I was just kind of like, oh my God. I'm bored. Let's move on.
I get that.
But the stuff that was good.
Yes.
Chills.
Yes.
It was cooking with gas.
All right. Well, I think we should get into spoiler territory.
Let's
because
do it.
I don't think we can help ourselves now.
So here we go. We're at the 27-minute mark. We're going into spoiler territory. You have been warned.
That's right. Watch it. All of it.
Do not listen to the rest of this episode before you watch season 2. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
And you really should watch all of the episodes and not just what we just
said. Not just the ones we said. No. Like, if you're watching it for the first time, you have to watch episodes 1
through
9. Oh,
yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I don't think anybody would just listen to us.
All right. So, should we just start with, like, the beginning?
Oh, well, let's just, you know, let's just
talk
about. Let's just talk. Yeah. So, the kids are back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Will's in the mix. And crazy things are happening with Will, which, you know, like, as we expected. I mean, everybody expected that. Like, things are weird. Like, he's... like, the last scene of the last episode of season 1 shows him in the bathroom. And all of a sudden, boom, he's back in the Upside Down. It makes you wonder, is he actually in the Upside Down? Is he seeing the Upside Down?
Right.
Or is it all in his head?
Mm-hmm.
And as we enter in season 2, the doctor is... like, apparently, he's going to the lab...
Mm-hmm.
And he's getting regular checkups, and Hopper's going with him with Joyce and everything like that. So this is normal. Like, they have a relationship
with the lab,
which I thought was an interesting take.
I thought so too. It was a way, like, to keep an eye on him,
mm-hmm.
but they were also honestly trying to help him, which was also interesting because they were such the bad guys in season 1.
They were so very much the antagonists.
Exactly. And now it was like, oh, well, it's new management. So now we're just trying to help him with his PTSD, and we're trying to help him, you know, understand these feelings and monitoring, you know, his health and everything mm-hmm. like that. And I was like, okay, a big change here.
But at the same time, you're like, are they?
Right.
Are they not? Because there was a few times, like, when they interacted with Nancy and John, mm-hmm. they were very much intimidating them.
Very true. They very
were,
much so.
You know, like trying to show, like they were insinuating that they would kill them yes. if they spoke out, which is not what good people do.
Right. And even like the flashback to when, you know, it first happened where Eleven disappeared and, mm-hmm. you know, they're talking to all the people and they're like, you know, for national security, you need to keep quiet. And like, okay, Will went into the woods and he got lost and all of that. You know, okay, there's a government cover-up mm-hmm. going on. So it was just interesting to see that they're helping.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But it paid off, though. Like, they
it did.
They proved that they were the good guys yeah. now that they were helping out.
And which was interesting.
Paul Reiser was the new Matthew Modine.
Mm-hmm.
And
only a good version.
But
a
good version, yeah. Like, he was running the lab, and what was really interesting, and this was perfect casting by the Duffer Brothers, and they knew exactly what they were doing, because a lot of people know Paul Reiser from Mad About You, but in the movie world, the 1980s
it's
movie
true.
World,
yes.
he is in Aliens.
And he's the good guy.
He's the quote-unquote
exactly.
good guy who stabs him in the back at the end.
Yeah, exactly.
And so everybody's like, is he going to do it again?
Right.
Is he the quote-unquote good guy who's going to stab him in the back at the
That's
end?
That's exactly right.
And right up until the final moment, right up until Bobby. Like,
oh, me too.
Like, even when Paul Reiser
me
was
too.
Looking after Bobby on the cameras, I was like, is he going to lead Bobby right into the Dimmadog?
Yes, me too. I had the same thought. I was like, is he good? I don't know if he's good. Which was great.
That was great.
It was great because you didn't know until the moment where he actually was trying to save him.
Yeah, up until he said, no, get into a closet, turn around, leave.
Right.
That's when you're like, wow, he really is a good guy.
Yes.
And it took
yes.
the entire season for us
because
to figure that
even,
out.
Because even like, you know, where there's a moment where they're like, we have to burn the Upside Down, and they're like, you know, he's like, no, you know, you're gonna kill Will, and he like throws down his papers in the staff meeting. You're like, okay, like, is it for research?
Yeah, does he care about Will, or
exactly.
does he care about what Will represents?
Exactly. And so the fact that they kept us guessing the entire time, I was like, well, that's pretty awesome.
That's good storytelling.
It is.
That's great storytelling. And yeah. that's the kind of storytelling that I'm invested in. Mm-hmm. That's what I appreciate. It's not the special effects. It's not the CGI. It's not how many
it's
starlets
true.
You can fit into the frame.
Yeah.
It is, can you keep me guessing? Can you keep me invested in behavior
mm-hmm.
and motivation?
Yeah, it's true.
And this was a great season of behavior and motivation and payoff.
Very true. Well, even like talking about behavior and motivation, everything like that, you know, I think it also goes to like how they treated Will.
Mm-hmm.
Like once they realized that he was a spy for the Upside Down, you know, what they call them?
The
like,
shadow
the,
monster.
The shadow, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of like an interesting feeling of we spent all of season one trying to find this kid and now we have to keep sedating him. Or, you know, trying to trick him or not, you know, being kind of wary of him. And that was just like really interesting to see how his like friends and his mom reacted, where like you still care about him. You know, mm-hmm. you're still trying to save him from getting eaten by the demagogues, but you also like don't trust him to see his surroundings. That was fascinating.
It's very interesting, especially the way that you put it, where they spent the entire season trying to get him out of the Upside Down.
Mm-hmm.
But season two is all about what he brought with him.
Exactly.
And that, I think, is a very cool perspective. Because it couldn't just be, season two couldn't have just been, oh, now it's the four of them against the Upside Down.
Right.
It's the three of them against what Will is and what Will brought back with him.
Yeah.
Because the battle's not over yet.
I think the moment where Will became really interesting to me this season was when he apologized because he had to tell the shadow monster where they were.
Yes.
I like just talking about it right now, I like am getting chills because I'm like, that was such a cool moment because I didn't see it coming.
Yes.
And I was just like, oh my gosh, he is a spy. And like, but there's also this inner Will mm-hmm. who's like, I'm so sorry, but he can't help it.
He had to do it.
He had to do it.
He was still going back and forth in that moment.
Right.
I didn't see that coming until they sent just random soldiers into the tunnels.
I understand.
Like once they sent,
there's no like special person.
Yeah, like Soldier 1 and Soldier 2 and Soldier 3. Yeah. I was just like, oh crap, none of them have names.
They might as well have red shirts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was their version of the red shirts.
Yeah.
And it's so utterly true. And but I didn't see it until that moment. Mm-hmm. It was seconds before it was revealed.
Yeah.
And I loved Mike's reaction to it when he was the one who figured it out.
Yes.
He was the one who figured out that it was a trap, that he's like, oh, it's the spy. And then he runs and he just starts screaming. And
yeah,
I'm getting chills now too.
Right?
I didn't feel like Mike had a lot to do this season.
The focus definitely was on Will.
Yes.
In 11, maybe later on.
Later on, yeah.
Yes, like season one definitely was Mike's story with 11.
Mm-hmm.
This was definitely Will's story. And that was interesting because we definitely shifted our perspective because now he's more of like a side character.
Yeah.
And it was a little, I'm not going to lie, I was a little frustrated because they gave like Dustin more to do than
they gave Lucas and Dustin.
Yeah, more to do. Exactly. Than Mike.
Which is really weird because don't get me wrong. I loved seeing more of Lucas and Dustin.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Those storylines were great.
Oh, yeah.
They really were. And it was very cool to see more of those characters and those actors kind of show that they're more than just background or side characters.
Mm-hmm.
But Mike and Eleven were the protagonists that we were promised. Like, this is their show.
This is their show and their story. And I feel like I was invested in Mike's feelings about all of it, like mm-hmm. his feelings towards his best friend and his feelings towards Eleven, who's like his best friend and now potential love interest. Mm-hmm. And so now when we're really not spending very much time with him, now it's almost like from my perspective, I'm like, okay, now I have to shift gears a little bit here.
Yeah, yeah. You have to wrap your head around it as an audience. You have to be like, oh, okay, I need to devote my attention where? Oh, okay, I need to move over here.
Yeah. But yeah. I kind of felt, I'm not going to lie, I kind of felt bad for the person who played Mike a little bit.
Listen, he's got a hit movie.
Oh, okay, I know.
So
he's fine.
He's doing just fine.
I know, but I'm just saying that from his character's perspective, I don't think they gave him very much to do.
No, they didn't. I think that was one major failing. I mean, there was a lot of good things that happened in this season. You know, pacing was not one of them.
No.
Usage of time and episode was not one of them. But story and plot, once things got going,
mm-hmm.
was definitely good. But giving Mike something to do was definitely lower on the list in their priorities.
He was basically like, I'm just going to be here for Will.
Yeah, he's just kind of shadowing Will around.
Yeah.
And he was just going from place to place wherever Will was going. Like, wherever he was sedated, he was going with him. Or where, like, if he was out in the field, he was out in the field. And, yeah. And
the skeptic. Like, he was the skeptic. He was basically, like, the Lucas of last season because but he was accurate. You know, where he was like, no, this is not right. Or, like, that slug is possibly a Demogorgon. You know, like or something from the Upside Down. Mm-hmm. You know, he was listening to Mike. He, you know, I don't know, maybe not quite as skeptical as Lucas, don't get me wrong, but I felt a little bit bad for that character.
I want to talk about the slug real quick, so I don't forget it, because you brought it up just now. The slug, okay?
Dart?
Dart, yes. Let's talk about Dart. Will coughs up the slug at the end of season one, a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's the size of a slug.
Yeah, I didn't quite understand that. And it's
a year later, it's in Dustin's garbage can. And it's maybe a centimeter bigger and like looks a little bit more like a tadpole instead of a slug. And then it grows to the size of a dog within 2 days.
Yeah, it didn't make sense.
That what? Was it the power of nougat?
Yeah, a Three Musketeers bar just like goes a long way, apparently.
Apparently.
Yeah, that didn't make sense.
That did not make sense to me. But I...
like it was just waiting.
I loved Dustin's storyline. I loved seeing more of him. I loved seeing his relationship with his mom.
Oh my gosh, I know.
That was an adorable relationship with his mom.
I know, I loved that. I loved that.
I loved that it wasn't stereotypical, like he was frustrated with her all the time.
No.
Or it's just like, you know, like, no, he was, like, you can tell that they have a good relationship.
Yes.
It seems like his dad's not around.
It sounds like it, yeah.
And so he has to have a good relationship with her.
Yeah. Well, doesn't have to.
Well,
but...
I mean, I'm sorry. Like, I don't know what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say something.
But they do.
Yeah, whatever, they do. Like, he doesn't have an alternative within the household to get along with a brother or a sister or a father.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his mom is all he has.
Other than the cat.
What,
Muse.
Yeah,
Muse.
Yeah, so I loved seeing Dust. Like, it was clear that after season one dropped, Dustin was a favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was adorable.
Of course.
He was
hilarious.
He had the one-liners. And they wrote one-liner after one-liner for him in season two.
What was your favorite one?
My favorite one, the one that I laughed the absolute hardest at, was when he was trying to find Nancy or Mike or Will or Lucas, and he couldn't find anybody. Nobody was answering the phone. Nobody was answering the walkie-talkie. He goes to the Byers' house. And the Wheeler's house.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. He goes to the Wheeler's house, Nancy and Mike's dad and mom. And the dad answers his door. And he says, he's like, yeah, Mike's not here. Nancy's not here. He starts being flippant and sarcastic. And Dustin just goes, son of a bitch, you've been no help to me at all. Do you know that? You're useless. And then he just walks away. and the dad is just like, language. And you could just tell that Dustin is at the end of his rope.
He's the sarcastic, witty voice of the audience.
Yeah.
In many ways. You know, like, in that respect especially, because that dad is absolutely useless.
Even from season one,
oh my gosh,
the dad is just the
Seriously.
Epitome of uselessness.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was your favorite?
I think it was when he like, slams the cellar door. And says, he's like, I'm sorry, but you ate my cat.
So crazy.
It's like, just so funny.
I think there was another time, like, when he's talking to Hopper, and like, he's talking about the flailer or something. The flayer. And he's like Hopper's just getting super upset with him. He's like, this is a kid's game. It's not real, it doesn't matter. And he just kept saying, he's like no, this is the closest thing we have. If you have anything else, I have got better, like, if you have any other better ideas, let me know. And he just gets really indignant with him. And then he's like, so how do we defeat the flayer? And he's like, well, we have an army of zombies, because they don't have any brains, and he eats brains and they take them. It doesn't matter, it's made up. I'm sorry. just trailing off.
I think one of my favorite was between he and Steve when, like, they were talking about, like, an enemy or something like that, and they were like, and Steve's like, oh, like the Germans, and then Dustin's like, the Nazis.
Like, he's offended?
Yes.
I mean, yes. No, he said, he's like, no, all they want to do is just think about world domination.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And then Steve,
oh, like the Germans, and then
like, Nazis?
Exactly.
Like, let's not stereotype the Germans. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, we love Dustin, and I think they gave him a lot to do this season, for sure. I mean, and I, you know, Lucas was a little bit less interesting, like, his storyline, for sure. But I'm not going to lie, I kind of liked that he got the girl.
Me too.
I was like, okay, good.
Like,
yeah.
I think it would have been easy to make Dustin
get
the girl, because he's... Out of all of them, this is going to sound weird, but out of all of them, he is the goofy one. You know, he's the nerdy one.
Yes.
I mean, Will and Mike are all nerdy.
Right.
Or both nerdy.
But
and,
you have more of an
awkward.
Affinity towards Lucas because he's, well, like, as Nancy says, you're my favorite out
yeah.
of all of Mike's friends.
And he's our favorite
of
out
course.
Of everybody.
Of course. Come on. Yeah.
But, like, he's got the lisp, he's got the dysplasia,
yeah.
whatever it's called.
He's overcome, you know, like, you know, he's been bullied.
Mm-hmm. And so it would have been easy to make him get the girl.
Yes.
But I'm glad that they made Lucas, because Lucas was pretty much just the doubting Thomas in season one.
Exactly.
And this one gave him something interesting to do. He wasn't just one note.
Right. Exactly.
But, yes, I like it was cool to see more of Lucas. It was cool to see Lucas's family life.
Yeah, like the little sister was cute. That was
yeah.
fun.
What
was
her name? Karen or something
yeah,
like that?
Something
Erica. Erica.
Yeah, it was just fun to see, like, you know, her stealing his stuff. And yeah, it was a fun dynamic to see.
I like seeing all of their family life, like, because
yeah.
I think we got a lot of the show got a lot of criticism for not showing Lucas's family. Like, oh. People are thinking, like, oh, you know, like, the black kid. Like, we're not seeing any of his family, but we see everybody else. But I think people forgot, we didn't see Dustin's mom. No. We didn't see Dustin's family life either.
No, we really just saw, and we didn't really spend time at their houses.
No, it was all Mike and Will's family. That's right. All that we really saw. I mean, we saw them at the funeral, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
But with this one, I love that we got to see Dustin's mom. She was adorable. And I love that we got to see the dynamic between Lucas's family. Like, it's good to see good parental units all throughout.
Yeah.
Like, they all come from good homes.
Right.
And I love that line where, yes, like, Lucas is talking to the dad and says, like, it's like, what do you do when you know, like, how does he phrase it? Like, when you're arguing with mom, he said something sweet. He's like, even when she's wrong, do you do that? He's like, oh, she's never wrong, son.
That was cute. Yeah, I liked that.
Very cute. Very cute.
That was very cute.
So what did you think of Max?
I could take or leave her. Like, I liked her more at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But I still kind of felt like I could take or leave her just because I didn't care a whole lot. Like, I liked that she was there for Lucas, mm-hmm. and I liked that dynamic. I liked that a lot. But to be completely honest with you, throughout the entire season of season 2, I really don't know why we spent so much time with her jackass brother.
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
Billy.
I echo your sentiment exactly when it comes to Max. I don't understand it. Like, I could take her, leave her.
Okay.
I was just like, whatever. She's there. I don't hate her. I don't love her.
Like, you know, it was nice to have, like, another girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the mix, you know? And it was funny to kind of see, like, how Eleven was just like, I'm not feeling her at all. But I don't know. Like, I guess when I saw Max enter the picture and when I saw Billy, and they spent so much time developing Billy's character as this jerk, you know, mm-hmm. who, like, would torment Steve and torment his sister, stepsister. And, like, we didn't really know what the home life was until much later in the season.
Yeah.
He spent a lot of time, like, you know, we could tell he was abusive and his, you know. And
yeah, just like,
really heinous, you know, like, not a good kid. And, you know, we assume that he's lashing out or whatever like that, but honestly, the way that they were setting him up, I thought that he had something to do with the Upside Down, because I was like, we're spending so much time with this kid. Like, we can't just be spending time with, like, just a jerk bully. Oh, wait. Yeah, we are.
Well, to think about it, like, if you think about it, Steve was the bully in season 1.
Yeah, he was.
And we spent a lot of time with him.
That's true, but at least he was connected
to Nancy. Yeah.
And then he eventually paid off by helping them fight in you know, in the living room situation, yeah, with the Demogorgon.
We didn't get that with Billy.
No, it was
Billy was
just a jerk. Just, and you know, the only thing I can think is, like, the only way he really paid off was getting them the car.
You're right.
Like, to make her the Zoomer.
You're absolutely, that's the only reason why he was there. And they could have just had, like, they could have written that out and said, like, Steve's car was here. Or something like that. Or,
right,
they went and got Steve's,
right,
car.
Exactly. And it, like, that's the only thing I can figure out is, like, how they came that way. Like, they got to there was like, oh, we'll just use his crazy car that he speeds around town. And then she's the Zoomer and, like, she earns her place. Like, that was kind of how she earned her place. She's like, oh, she's so cool. She drives a car. And
I feel like that's the only reason he existed, was to have a conflict with Max that Max could overcome. And so that she,
yeah,
can have personal growth as well as prove her worth to the group.
Right. And we have, like, a backstory for her. But that's, I don't think it was needed.
You could have done that with something else. You could have done that with something Upside Down related, where maybe she kills the dog. Maybe she kills a Demodog.
Right.
And she,
okay, now you earned her place.
And people are like, holy crap, she's cool. She's smart. She can think on her feet.
Right.
And then we're like, we got to have her in the party. And then you move on. And then we don't have all of the, like, 10 unnecessary scenes with this random mullet-wearing bully.
Yeah. The only part I really liked about Billy was when he was coming on to Mrs. Wheeler and, like, she was like all like flustered with her.
That was amazing.
That was freaking hilarious.
That's the only
Mrs. Robinson type moment.
Very Mrs. Robinson.
Oh my gosh, it was hilarious. Like that was the only, and I was like, I think I even told you, I was like, well, that might have been worth having him in the season. Like that was hilarious.
But the thing is, like he could have been the grumpy stepbrother. He could have been the jerk stepbrother, and we see him once or twice, and then he pops up at Mrs. Wheeler's mm-hmm. house, and then he pops up at the later on. I'm just saying, like, his role needed to be downplayed.
Yes,
we did not need to see his home life. We did not need to see him, like, he was like very much a jerk. He was not just a bully. He was abusive, and you hated this character.
Yeah,
and I just felt like it was unnecessary.
Well, and like, I mean, the only reason, like, why we saw his homework life was to understand why he acted the way he does.
Who cares?
But that's the thing is, like, it doesn't really matter. It didn't really matter for the overall plot. Like, it was just to add, like, another dimension in there, like, to fight. Like, one more thing to fight, apparently. Maybe it's something for Steve to do.
Like, Steve got his ass kicked.
Exactly. So that doesn't make sense, right?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. I mean, like we talked about, it was just for her to overcome something, just for Max to overcome something, but that could have been done in a different way.
I agree.
And it's just like, as when they showed the home life and like the dad was a jerk to him and like smacked him, hit him,
yeah,
called him the derogatory F name for yeah. homosexuals, where it just like you don't realize how rarely you hear that word
when it comes up. Until it comes up, you're like, "Yeah,
damn,
yeah, yeah."
Because it's a hateful word, and it's just so shocking to hear. And like as I was seeing the scene, I was just like, "Okay, that sucks that he has an abusive dad. Mm-hmm. That sucks that he has such a jerk of a dad. I'm sad that Max is in that situation. Okay, so that's the reason why Billy's a jerk. Don't care, still a jerk. Like,
well, and I think the other thing too." About that was like we spent a lot of time like zooming in on his eyes and like him like talking about like she's not my stepsister and all this stuff, like where I thought there was gonna be some type of thing where like wait like at one
and
point
don't hang out with Lucas, yeah, he's kind,
like, yeah, like what are you talking about, like is it a racial thing, no it can't be that way,
that's too simple
to make it that way. Like, or like, no, you can't hang out with any of these kids, like you're only my sister, like that doesn't make sense because he doesn't even care.
Yeah.
It was not flushed out. Let's just say it was not flushed out. It was frustrating.
It was frustrating. That was my least favorite dynamic in the show. Mm-hmm. I don't know. but it was just, we had so much going on.
Yeah.
In the later episodes.
Yeah.
That we didn't need it. Did not need it.
And it always felt like there was something more with him than there actually turned out to be.
Yeah, like you said, like there was so much focus on him. There yeah. was so much screen time devoted to him. What's his connection to the Upside Down? What is he gonna do?
Yeah.
Like, did they run from another town?
Or that, like, I thought there was some type of government like cover up. Like maybe they're like, you know, maybe they had to change their names or something like that.
But no.
No, it wasn't anything cool like that.
They just had a crappy home life.
Exactly.
This is Stranger Things. This isn't some random CW drama. Like, give us something.
He was the CW of the show.
He was the CW of the show. Not needed, except for that scene where he hit on Mrs. Wheeler.
Which was amazing.
Okay, so we've established that. Let's talk about, before we get into Hopper and Eleven.
Okay.
I want to talk about one other gripe that I have, since we're okay. on the negative trend here. Nancy and Jonathan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care.
I care a little bit. I'm not going to lie to you.
I like Jonathan.
I do too.
Jonathan's a cool character. I like him. And I like that he got the girl. I like that him and Nancy are together,
because mm-hmm.
I think they should be together.
Mm-hmm.
I like that we did not get that instant gratification at the end of season one.
Yes.
I thought that was a smart move.
Yes.
To have her stick with Steve.
I thought so too, because it was unexpected.
It subverted our expectations. Every once in a while, I like that. And so I like that they took the time to get there. Here's what I don't like about Nancy and Jonathan's storyline. It was drawn out, and it was unnecessary to the plot. What they were doing was could have been taken care of in a couple of scenes. And instead of two scenes, we got six. With the two of them. Like, here's what I'm talking about. They had a cool idea. they knew that they were being watched by the lab.
Mm-hmm.
And so they called up Barb's mom and said, we need to tell you something. Let's meet at this place. They meet at the place knowing that they're going to be watched,
mm-hmm.
and that those people take them into the lab. They wanted to be taken into the lab so that they could secretly record Paul Reiser on him admitting that they were responsible for Barb's death.
Right.
Great. Right. Great stuff. It was very reminiscent.
And I didn't think that was going to happen because I thought, I couldn't figure it out until, okay, that's awesome. Like, they're right. actually thinking. And they're not just like teenagers.
Yeah, they're not just like
no, they're yeah. smart. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, absolutely. Everything that you just said. Like, I love that. And like, it was reminiscent of season one where they went into the woods together. Like, that was a cool dynamic. I like their dynamic. But then what they did was they took the tape to that private investigator, that conspiracy theorist.
Yes. Which was just shoehorned in like the first episode.
Yeah, that was really very, very much a shoehorn just so that they could have this scene. And they go there, it's an awkward scene, but then that culminates into, well, let's take the tape, let's water it down into something that the public can digest. So let's take out the supernatural, but still pin the lab on it.
Mm-hmm.
Great, that's done. Well, instead of just doing that, they spend time at this creeper's house.
This middle-aged man who lives by himself, who is a conspiracy theorist. Yes.
And says, okay, well, it's super late. I've been drinking in front of you all day.
No, they were drinking with him.
No, that's what I'm saying. Oh, okay. It's like, I've been drinking in front of you all day, and now I've got you drinking. I, a middle-aged single man, where you are in my house, am giving you 17-year-olds alcohol on the regular. And so now that I've given you alcohol and you can't drive home and it's late, how about you stay at my place? Also, I can tell that you're into each other. So how about you get busy in my house, in my guest bed? And like, he's not just overtly saying it. He's telling them, share the bed together. You two have feelings. Share the bed. It's okay. Don't use the pullout. Share the bed. You guys deserve each other. I'm going to wink, wink, go upstairs while you guys go at it in my house after I just gave you vodka.
It was so creepy.
This was very creepy. This was very uncomfortable. This was very weird. But the filmmakers, the executive producers, whoever, the creators, the writers, the directors, didn't treat it as weird.
That's the thing. Okay. And I honestly would like to know if people felt the same way we were feeling. I really do. Because
that's why I went on a long diatribe about it. Because it upset me a great
because
deal.
Because when we were watching it, I was like, okay, he's pumping them full of alcohol. Okay, now he wants them to stay there. This is creepy, right? Like, I looked at you. I was like, this is creepy, right?
Yeah.
And they were like, it was like the music was not creepy. And so I was like, okay.
They were playing it for laughs.
Yeah. And they like had, you know, some fun music in the back. And then the way that Jonathan and like, and Nancy get together is like this weird, like, well, the middle-aged man who has figured us out said to do it, so let's get together. And, like, there was nothing cute about it. There was no gratification from my perspective.
From a character perspective,
because there was a creep factor.
Yeah.
Right?
And on top of that, the next morning, they have the morning after
breakfast.
And the
him.
Guy is there, and he makes an awkward pull-out joke, a coitus interruptus joke.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was so uncomfortable. It was like, are we not remembering that these people are 17?
They're teenagers. They're high right. school students. They're babies.
Exactly. And like a big plot point of season one was the fact that Nancy, you know, lost her virginity to Steve. And now we're just so casual that we're just having sex in like a random creepo's house. Like, I don't know. It was jarring.
Like, I understand, like, I'm not so much of a prude or disconnected from reality that I understand some high schoolers have sex. A lot of high schoolers have sex. It's just life. That's just how it is. But here's what I don't like. I don't like how casual it is on TV and movies to have 25-year-old actors pretend to be 16 and 17 and them casually throwing sex around. Because what it does is it shows an adult mentality, because you have adult actors
mm-hmm.
portraying kids having sex. And it shows younger, more impressionable kids, like people who are Mike's age and 11's age and everything like that, who are watching this show,
mm-hmm.
who are 14 and 15, everything like that, seeing much older actors portraying people who are just supposed to be just a little bit older than they are.
Right.
And then they're like, oh, well, you know, like I can go to a creepy middle-aged man's house, have alcohol and sleep with my girlfriend. And it's A-okay because they're the Duffer Brothers are playing it up for laughs. You know, am I stretching it? Maybe.
I think you might be stretching it a little bit.
But this is...
Because I expected them to sleep together.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will say, okay, like, you know, we're going that direction. Okay. But I think that the thing that I'm bothered the most about is that it was clouded with creepiness because they, you know, like, I mean, there was used to be a time where, like, you weren't even supposed to show teenagers drinking, like unless there was some type of consequence. There mm-hmm. wasn't really a consequence here, really.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it was just like so casual. I mean, you know, you had like the, you know, like Nancy doesn't hold her liquor well in the first episode or whatever, but it just felt, it felt too casual, like you said. But I think the biggest thing to me was like, I just really am uncomfortable with this middle-aged man telling these kids to have sex.
I think that's the biggest thing. Like, I may have went on a diatribe about a much bigger problem.
I think you did.
Like, all the things on the CW and everything like that, where, like, it's just like you have all the, I think filmmakers...
That's been going on for years, though.
I know that. And I'm not saying it's something new, and I'm not saying it's unique to Stranger Things. I'm just saying that I think it's systemic. I think it's weird. And I think filmmakers forget, because they're dealing with 25-year-olds, I think they're forgetting that they're still portraying babies. They're still portraying 16 and 17 year olds. But anyway, the bigger portion, like you were saying, the way bigger thing that makes it creepy is the middle-aged man, like, giving them booze, making them drink, telling them to stay at his place, and then straight up telling them that they needed to have sex. In season one, Nancy lost her virginity to Steve. That happens in high school sometimes. Kids do that, but it was just the two of them. They were at a house party. They went upstairs. Barb was downstairs and got eaten by a monster. It happens to everybody, okay?
There's some consequences there.
There's consequences there. But, like, that was not creepy to me. That was a slice of teenage life.
Right. Whereas this was like... I know it sounds weird, but because they added that guy in it, it was like he was a part of it. He was a part of their first hookup.
But we need to move on. but like we talked about it so long because that's how much it...
That bothered us.
It bothered us. But that's really the only thing where I was just like, this is garbage. This is mm-hmm. stupid. This is mm-hmm. weird. This is...
Yeah, that was the biggest thing for us.
But moving on, Eleven and Hopper, what did you think about that dynamic? What did you think about him becoming her surrogate father and now real father, legal father?
I was super excited about it.
Yeah, you liked it?
I did.
I liked it too.
I did. I just, like, Hopper needed someone and Eleven needed someone and they got together. And, like, I even liked just, I don't know, like, the way that they worked together, you know, just...
It was beautiful. It was flawed. It wasn't perfect.
No, and even, like, when they fought, it was like... You know, like, did Hopper get, like, really heated really fast? Yeah, but so does Eleven, you know? And even, like, when they apologized to a later on, it was cute because it was, like, I'm sorry, you know, it was kind of like a... You knew that, like, their dynamic was going to be okay.
It was genuine.
It was. And I love how they eat breakfast together. You know, I just, you know, I love those moments. I love how he had, like, made this place for her and trying to protect her mm-hmm. and, you know, make it as homey as he could. And... I just loved that. I loved it. Did we spend a little too much time doing that? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I did love
it. That was one of those
it.
Things that was a lot of build up.
Yes. And I think, like, just to say one more thing that bothered me, I think not in a creepy way, but in a kind of way, was when we saw Eleven. Well, let's talk about Eleven first. Mm. Okay. So Eleven is sucked into the upside down because she destroys the Demogorgon. Okay.
Yeah, she was like she.
Yeah, she like
she
used
destroyed
all her
him
energy.
So hard that it sucked her in.
Exactly. Okay. She's roaming the school in the upside down, and then she immediately pops back out.
Immediately.
Like, could have probably said, "Hey, Mike."
In that amount of time.
Okay. That was weird.
Yeah.
Don't know why they did that, other than to like. Get her back, but that didn't make sense to me. And the biggest question I had of season one ending was about the box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes.
Okay. Right.
That was the biggest question.
The box
question.
With the Eggos.
Those were the two questions that they left. That was one of the two questions that they left us with. The box between Hopper and Eleven and Will Slug.
Yeah. And what happened to Eleven? Mm-hmm. Okay. So we answered the question of Eleven, which was a little short-lived. I was like, what? We just roamed the school and now we're back out? Okay. That's really weird. All right. Why would we not spend time in the Upside Down?
At least a month.
Exactly. But instead, we spend time outside in the woods for a really long time where this poor girl, her hair started to grow.
Substantially.
And she's in winter in Indiana. We live in Illinois. Uh-uh.
Yeah, no.
Okay, you cannot survive outside. No. And that was painful to see that her hair had grown. I was like, no,
that
poor
was a
baby.
Gut punch.
I said, poor baby. I was like, no, 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 no. And why would Hopper know to leave the Eggos? We still don't know.
We still don't know.
Did she? He just like in memoriam, like leave her Eggos in the middle of the woods where she happened to be?
And she found it. Why would she know where
and
to find it?
And then she found him that exact moment that he was leaving the Eggos. What? No, no, that frustrated me.
That see that like. If you waste an episode, I'm like, okay, you wasted an episode. That was weird. You like that's bad storytelling. This was a slap in the face to the fans because that is a question mark. That is a big the end mm-hmm. question mark
yeah.
that you made the audience think about for a year.
Exactly.
And then you show it to us without giving us an answer.
Well, and at least, okay, if you're gonna have her wander the woods, have her wander the upside down woods.
Yeah.
And have her, like, do the the portal type thing where, like, this is, like, a portal, this little box. Like, Hopper somehow, maybe the lab told him that this little box, like, can communicate with the Upside Down or something like that, you know?
Like the mailbox in the lake house.
That's right. Have a lake house effect here, okay? Like, where we can communicate. But that was just, it was a gut punch and it was frustrating. And I don't know why we didn't spend more time in the Upside Down with Eleven.
Tease and reward. You got to have tease and reward.
That was weird to me. Yeah. And that immediately I was like, oh, this is not a good sign for this season. And because it happened so early.
Yeah. It was episode two.
Two, right?
That happened where you're just like, oh, we're going to learn about the box. We still haven't learned about the box and we're never going to.
No, we never are. It was I want to know. But I don't think we're ever going to know.
I kind of want to find out who represents the Duffer Brothers and get their email address.
Right? And like ask them, like, what's the deal with the box? I don't know. So that was a frustration.
Yeah.
But I loved the dynamic of them living in that little cabin together.
And when she was dressed up as a ghost.
Oh my gosh.
She said, like, what if I go like this?
Like, what if I could go out trick-or-treating? Yeah, exactly, E.T. Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Yeah. Let's talk about her leaving to find Mama.
This is one thing that was very frustrating to me, like with Eleven, because there was, you know how I, like when I listed the episodes that you could watch and the ones that you could skip? Well, conveniently, Seven was removed from the list, even though it's bookended by two that you should watch. Episode Seven is the one where she goes to Chicago and wastes everybody's time.
She has a cool new look.
At the beginning of the episode, you see now leaving Indiana, going to Illinois. At the end of the episode, you see now leaving Illinois, going to Indiana.
Yeah, you really can get rid of it.
You can absolutely move it out. The only thing that I can think of is that character, 8, is a big setup for season 3.
That's what I'm thinking too.
And it gave 11 a little bit more character motivation. Like it showed us like the direction that 11 could have gone if she was left to her own devices. She could have easily become like 8, vindictive, filled with revenge, hate, and just like no direction.
Right. And I liked 8. Like when we first met 8, and like she and Elle like met and like they had that kind of connection.
That sister moment.
I liked that a lot. I was like, oh, I like this.
That's cool. That's I like so where cool. this is going
to
go.
Exactly. I didn't want her to stay there, but I liked that she found her.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked that superpower. Like, that was a cool superpower. Just, you know, like, you can make people see things that aren't there. But you're absolutely right. Like, the only other thing that I can think is we learned that Matthew Modine is not, he's not dead.
Which we could have learned anywhere.
Right. And it gave her, like, more, like, she thought about it when she was trying to muster the courage to close the gate. So that was basically all we gained.
Yeah.
But it could have been easily used by other things. And I also kind of felt like the payoff of meeting Mama was kind of short-lived.
That was a little weird. And why did she get betrayed by her aunt?
Yeah, I didn't understand that. Like, she was so buying into all of it. And then, like, all of a sudden the aunt decides to call.
And who'd she call?
Like, I have no idea. Like, the police or who knows? But, like, I guess it was nice to kind of, like, have a little bit of, okay, we don't need to go back to Mama.
But do we? Are we? Is she going to go back to Mama? Is she just abandoning her mom now that she knows where she is? Does it not matter because she's almost a vegetable? Does she not care about her,
like,
anymore?
And that's the frustrating thing was, like, I don't know what, like, other than to find 8, which, you know, she felt like this was why Mama wanted to communicate. And that was cool. Like, oh, we're going to talk to Mama.
Like, when she busted down the door and said, I want to see Mama.
Yeah, I loved that. But I feel like I really would have liked if we could have talked to Mama normally.
As a person. As a person. In the black space.
Yes, exactly.
I was expecting,
like,
her.
Like, we just talk. We can talk. This is where we can talk.
Yeah.
And like, give us that, you know, like, give us that.
And that would have been great later on, like in season 3 or in another episode.
And that could help her, like, find Matthew Modine or something like that.
Like Mama's still a vegetable. She still lives in that other town, but she, like,
she's alive inside.
But Eleven can talk to her that way. And maybe she does it every night or she does it every week and she can go and visit. That would have given us some solace.
Like, she has a relationship with her mother, but she's able to, like, live her life in Hawkins with her friends and with Hopper as being her, you know, dad.
But we didn't get that.
No, we didn't get that.
And we got something pointless and something questionable and something weird and just felt like we were wasting time.
I know.
And it's just, I went online afterwards. And apparently episode 7 is the least, how do I phrase this? Lowest rated.
Oh, really?
Of the 9 episodes is episode 7.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. And episode 7 was the one when she goes to Chicago.
When she goes to Chicago, and meets 8 and everything like that.
Interesting.
I think the earlier episodes, like episodes 1, 2, and 3, and 4 are, like, I found episode 7 interesting.
Yeah.
If it was outside of the storyline, episode 7 would have made a cool webisode.
Yes. It would have.
Like some sort of prequel story.
Yeah.
Or a side story. Something like a novel, a short story.
Or even like release it a few months from now where we like have this kind of, you know, like she's able to talk to Mama. And then, okay, now we're going to go see who 8 is.
Yes. That storyline would have been a fun miniseries or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. It's just.
It was a little frustrating.
It's felt so out of place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But. That ending.
Oh, yeah.
Those last couple of episodes.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Just like when 11
when we were
comes
in the
back.
Lab on.
Yes.
Like, well, I guess
when the power went out.
When the power went out and, like, the demagogue dogs started coming out, like, I was like, I am invested. Like, this is Stranger Things. Yes, I am. We're here.
We're finally
doing
this. At season 2.
Exactly. And you even said that. You were like, I feel like we could have started here.
Yeah, like when the dogs started coming out of basically the mouth of hell, and Hopper's there and he's like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
That's the moment where I was just like, why didn't we start here?
Yeah.
Why weren't we here in episode two?
Right. Give us maybe an episode to fill us in and then
boom.
Let's start here.
Ugh.
I know.
That frustrated me to no end.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is that, like, once we got there, I was like, man, now we're watching Stranger Things. Now we got Hopper, Eleven, Mike, Lucas, Dustin, Nancy. You know, like, it's just like we got all these people just like working together. Mm-hmm. They're paired off in interesting ways. I thought it was interesting to see Dustin and Steve together.
And, you know, it's so funny because, like, I did too. And I like how they now have like a friendship, like a big brother type relationship. Mm-hmm. But I looked at you, I was like, they don't know what the hell to do with Steve.
They have no
idea. I was like, now the Nancy's with Jonathan, they have no idea what to do with him.
They're like, we got this actor, he has a contract.
Yeah, exactly.
We like, can't write him out.
And I mean, he's cute in his like dumb way, which is fun to add into the dynamic.
Yeah.
And like, I do like him and Dustin together. I have nothing against
Steve.
But I was just like, when they left him with all the kids as like the babysitter, I was like, oh, Steve.
Like, he even said, he's like, I might have made a crap boyfriend, but I make a heck of a babysitter. I'm like,
you're not that cool, Steve.
You're not that cool. You're not going to be able to admit that.
No.
You're still a teenager.
No, and you would still be like, if you're actually in love with Nancy, which it sounded like he really was in love with Nancy.
Yeah.
Then, no, you would not be just like hanging out with her brother and his friends. And like, even like them in, you know, I was actually thought it was cool, like, they gave them something to do. Like, they, okay, like, we've got to burn out the, like, whatever, the shadow in Will.
We got to find Dart.
We got to find whatever. And I did like that they were like, okay, we got to go do something. And then they were going to burn, you know, the epicenter.
Yeah. But there was a moment when I was just like, oh, are they going to kill Steve?
Me too. Especially, I think it was in the junkyard.
In the junkyard on the bus.
Yeah, which I was like, they might kill Steve. And then
it would have been cool if they did.
I think they probably should have.
Yeah.
But you know what I said to you at that time? I was like, but then we can't really, I feel like there would have to be some type of conflict with Nancy and Jonathan.
Yeah, you're right.
So it wasn't the right timing.
I think you said he would have been a martyr.
Yeah.
And then Nancy and Jonathan would have been able to be together.
Exactly.
Because she would have felt guilty for some odd
reason. Right. Yeah. Instead we killed Bob.
But you were spot on with Bob dying. Because
that's right, we kept taking bets.
we kept taking bets on who was going to die. I early on, like halfway through the season, I was like, somebody's going to die this season. Somebody has to die. And you said Bob. And I was like, nah, they're not going to kill Bob. And I was like, because that doesn't mean as much. but you were 100% right. Because what you said was, you're like, Bob is a new character. But we spent way more time with him this season.
Yep.
And he's super nice.
He's sweet.
We've connected with him, but he's not an original character.
Right. And like, he's sweet and he's like good with, you know, but he's not great with the kids. Does that make sense? Like he doesn't 100%, like his advice doesn't exactly work out.
Yeah.
So like, he's an endearing character, but we're not gonna like, oh my gosh, Eleven died. You know, like we're not like that.
Yeah. But yeah. And so I was emotionally connected with it. And his story, like right before his death, his scene when he was trying to fix the computers, fix the electricity and get out, I was on the edge of my seat.
Oh, me too. I was like, no. Get out.
And when Paul Reiser was helping and everything like that, great storytelling. Great
job. It was great.
And that scene where Eleven closes the gate.
Oh my gosh. And she lifts up.
Yeah, the moment when she, like, you see her feet start to lift up. I was just like, this is cool.
Yes.
And when the shadow monster starts coming after Eleven, there was a time when I was like, and like, they did this deliberately because Hopper's back was turned.
Yep. It's true.
They showed you his back is turned, he's not looking at Eleven, and the shadow hunter is coming after Eleven just like it went after Will.
Right.
Is like, what is that going to be like? Because Will is just a kid. Mm-hmm. Eleven is a warrior.
Right. She has powers.
So what is it going to be? What is Eleven going to be like with this shadow monster inside of her? But then at the last second, just nope. And she puts up this psychic barrier and starts to destroy him and then close the barrier.
It was so cool.
There was so much payoff.
Yes.
For what we went through in season two, it made season two worth it.
It did. It totally did. Like, that storyline of the lab closing the gate, you know,
Will's shadow monster,
all of that paid off so much that you're like, oh, that was so awesome.
Great payoff.
That was awesome. Yeah. We got to see the characters in a really cool situation. But there was just a lot of wasted space.
A lot of wasted space. Mainly at the beginning, a little bit at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But the payoff was worth it.
It was.
It was. I can honestly say it was worth it.
Yeah.
Now, could it have been even a better season? Absolutely.
Of course.
If they fixed that stuff at the beginning.
Right.
But before we leave, let's talk about Snowball.
Oh, okay.
This was great fan service.
It was.
And that's all it was.
Because that's what he talked about. Like, all he wanted to do was bring Eleven to Snowball.
In season one, he said, he's like, I'll take you to the Snowball dance. And she's like, what's that?
Yep.
And that's where we ended in season two.
It was
and
really cute.
Apparently, the creators, the Duff brothers, knew that they wanted to end with Snowball. With the Snowball.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was really sweet. Like, we ended with the Snowball with Eleven and Mike. And, you know, like, you see them all pair off. But, man, did they... Okay, so we're focused on Dustin, like, you know, using his hairspray.
His Farrah Fawcett hairspray.
You know, like, have Steve drive him to the dance and everything like that.
Steve gives him the confidence to ask girl after girl.
Exactly. He goes up to girls. They say no. He goes up to another girl, says no. And then you see him on the bleachers, and he's crying.
He's literally crying.
And I'm like... No, no, no. I was so angry. I was like, I can't, no, they can't do this.
I think your mama instincts kicked in.
Oh, they did. I was like, no, you do not do that to Dustin. And then Nancy comes in and saves the day by being, you know, the hot older girl.
Makes all the other girls jealous.
Exactly.
Like, what did I miss out on?
Exactly. And you know, says, like, these girls are stupid at this age. They don't, you know, give them a few years. And, you know, like, they're laughing and giggling and dancing together at the dance.
But you can kind of tell that Dustin's not reading into it.
Right.
He doesn't think that it's more than what it is. He no. knows what she's doing.
They're dancing as friends. Mm-hmm. But he's appreciative of the attention.
Yes.
And that was adorable.
It was freaking adorable.
It was
like,
adorable.
They could have ended
it
right there,
before
Eleven coming in. I've just been like, this is great. Okay, we can move on. All right, whatever happens to Eleven and Mike, whatever.
Oh my gosh. It's true, though, that you had more satisfaction with Nancy dancing with Dustin, though, because you're like, oh, thank God.
So true. And Lucas gets like a half kiss
from
Max.
Yeah. Well, like, that's a middle school kiss right there.
And you see him practicing in front of the mirror.
Yeah,
such
that was
a real
cute.
Moment.
Yeah,
you
know? It was cute. Yeah.
And even Will gets the no name. Like, poor Will gets the no name girl.
I know. Well, at least someone's interested, though.
But then, like, we have that moment where Mike's by himself, and then Eleven comes in, and he says, right off the bat, you look beautiful. Not awkward.
No.
Not weird. Doesn't stumble. He just goes, you look beautiful. Just
so cute.
Boom.
So cute.
And
so 80s too.
Her dress was super 80s.
Yeah.
And he said, he's like, do you want to dance? She said, I don't know how. He's like, neither do I. Let's figure it out together. Oh God.
I know.
Oh God. You're killing me.
It was so cute. It was great. And you even have, like, you know, you have the two in the parking lot.
Oh, and Hopper and
Joyce. Yeah, and I feel like that was a nice payoff, too. Like, they needed each other.
And I like that they never made it romantic.
They never did. Like, there's always this question of, like, will it become? I feel like we all have that feeling. Like, is it going to eventually? But right now, I feel like they're all good where they're at. And they are really just friends. And that's okay.
And that's okay. Like, you can have an intimate relationship without it being romantic.
Exactly.
And Hopper and Joyce are proof of that.
Right.
And... in the last moment, because we can't end on a happy moment.
Of course.
We have the snowball. We're outside. Camera twists. Cants the angle. And we kind of rotate into the upside down. And we see the shadow monster in all his glory over the upside down version of the middle school.
Yeah.
End credits.
Yeah.
That's to tell us that the shadow monster is not destroyed.
Right.
He's still around and he's pissed.
Right. Exactly.
So we're going to see him again.
And probably, like, stalking them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I, but it's not giving so much away. Like, I feel like they have pretty, they can go anywhere they want to now. Like, we know that that's out there, but it doesn't really necessarily make us say, like, okay, this is going to happen in season three.
I think Will is free now.
I think so, too.
I think Will is now going to be just, like, another one of the guys.
I think so, too.
I do feel that.
Other than... the
post-traumatic stress.
Exactly. Like, other than that.
I don't think he's going to have any more supernatural connections.
I don't think so, which is good. I think that we're done with that chapter.
Yes, I think so, too. I think... How do you feel about season three? Are you excited that we're going to get a season three? Are you looking forward to it, or do you think we should just end it?
Well, I guess I'm having mixed feelings right now because I really enjoy seeing those characters. Mm-hmm. And they really did a really great job at the end of season two with, like, grabbing me and just, like, I was just along for the ride, like, on the edge of my seat for the storyline. But I also think there is some, like, hesitation for me because we're growing with these kids, but they're not going to be kids forever.
Right.
So, you know, where do we go from here?
I guess, high school.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, okay, how far do we go with them? And how much crazy crap is going to happen to Hawkins, you know?
That's one big thing is that how much can one town take without it being absurd?
Right.
And I think the Duffer Brothers said they're going to do season 3 and season 4, and that's it.
Okay.
I think it's just going to be 4 years.
I still don't know where they're going to go.
I don't know either. And I still don't think they knew where they were going to go once they finished season 1.
I don't think so either.
I think they were definitely making this up as they go along, which... There's nothing wrong with it. Most shows do that.
Right. But I just don't know. I don't know.
But isn't that a fun place, though? Isn't that a fun place to be?
Yeah. And I love the characters. So I think I'm excited just to see those people again.
I'm excited for season 3 because I've made peace with the fact that it's not an anthology show.
Mm-hmm.
I like the characters. I still like them after season 2.
That's true.
And they hit me really hard with really cool stuff at the end of season 2. I'm glad that they gave us all the, if they had to choose, I would have liked it all throughout, but if they had to choose to give me the good stuff at the end or at the beginning, I'm glad they gave it to me at the end because I'm now looking forward to season 3 because I have no idea what's going to happen.
That's true.
And anything can happen.
That's true.
All right. Well, thank you so much guys for listening. I think this might be our longest episode ever. We're reaching up on an hour and a half right now.
Oh my gosh, jeez.
And as you can tell, we had a lot of thoughts, a lot of feelings about season 2 or Stranger Things 2 or whatever you want to call it. So let us know what you think of the show. What do you think of our opinions of the show? Go to thenerdparty.com/contact, select Nerd Nuptial from the drop-down menu, fill out the form. It'll send us an email right to our doorstep. And let us know, are we crazy? Was there anything that we were way off the mark, or were you shaking your heads the entire time or nodding your heads the entire time saying, that's right, girl, and Tristan, you are right on the mark, just like always. Alright, but thank you so much. As always, go to thenerdparty.com, go to iTunes, give us a review. If you give us a 5-star review, we'll mention you on the show.
I love you.
I know.